You don't need to turn there, but I'll reference it here. I want to start off in Leviticus 23, verse 23 through 25. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation." My sermon today is The Sound of the Trumpet. That's the title of it, if you want a title. And he says in verse 24, it's a memorial of blowing of trumpets. A memorial, something to be remembered. And this day will definitely, what it pictures, it will be something to be remembered. Turn, if you would, over to Numbers 10. Numbers 10, we're going to start verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this is Numbers 10, verse 2, "Make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the assembly and for directing the movement of the camps. When they blow both of them, all the assembly shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only once, then the leaders of the heads of the divisions of Israel shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the south shall begin their journey, and they shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies." Once again, that word, the memorial, remembrance, comes up. "Also, in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets." So we see here three specific things that are laid out, reasons for the trumpets being made. First, to sound the alarm of war, which is actually the second one mentioned. To call an assembly, which is the first one. And to announce the first day of each month and to announce the feast days. These three reasons for the trumpets are all embedded and embodied in the Feast of Trumpets. And I hopefully can show that, discuss that today, and bring that to remembrance for you. This, the Feast of Trumpets, is a very important day, feast day in the plan of God, the plan of our Father. Please turn over to Joel 2. Daniel, Hosea, Joel. There is coming a time soon when our Father says to his son and our elder brother, "It's time." Remember, Jesus said not even he knew when he would return. God will say, "It is time." God will finally step in with a forceful hand and intervene in the course of this world. Jesus Christ told us in Matthew 24, 21, and 22 that for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. This intervention is called the Day of the Lord. Joel 2, verse 1 and 2 says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. The trumpet is blown, an announcement of war upon the peoples of the earth. And we look back over in the first chapter of Joel in verse 14. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, blow for the sacred assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land in the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. This is from the Almighty. This is God's intervention in the earth. Before that, it's been Satan's world. God now is taking his stand. So let's turn to the book of Revelation. We'll start out in the 8th chapter, and we'll get an overview of this intervention when God finally steps in and says, enough. Revelation 8. We see here seven trumpets that will be blown. Each one will bring on a different type of destruction as Jesus Christ brings this world to its knees. Revelation 8, verse 1 through 6. Sets the stage here. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense, that he should offer it with prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Preparing to make the sound of the trumpets. Verse 7. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. They were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. So here we see the first trumpet sounding. And that is only the beginning, and it doesn't sound pretty. A third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. And then it goes on for the second trumpet. The second trumpet sounds, verse 8. Then the second trumpet sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. John doesn't know what he's seeing here. He says it was like a burning mountain. He couldn't describe it. But a third of the sea, wherever that hit, the third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures were destroyed, and these ships that were in the area were also destroyed. Then we see in verse 10, the third trumpet. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. He's almost describing like it's a meteor. That drops a huge meteor that hits the earth. I don't know if that's what he saw, but he describes it as a star. Then the fourth angel sounded, in verse 12, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. So it's almost like it was only at that time of day between the 10 and 2 or something where there was some faint hint of sunlight. It was so darkened otherwise. I don't know if that's what John is seeing. And I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Basically saying, what you've seen is nothing. What is coming, the next three blasts, are going to be far more than what you've just seen. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Then we pick it up in chapter 9. Verse 1 through 6. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. I don't know if you've ever been stung by a scorpion. I have. They are not fun. Now, we're not through here yet. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. It almost seems like this is now saying, vengeance from God. You have attacked my people for not having the mark of the beast. You do not have the seal of God Almighty. Those are the ones now being attacked. Those who attacked my people, who martyred them and caused all kinds of great pain and grief upon them. Now, I'm answering you. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. They could not kill anyone, but they were to be tormented with this, whatever the stinging is of the scorpion, lasts for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. And the shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And it says again, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. So whatever this torment is, he says it twice, it will last for 5 months. Says in verse 11, and they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon, that is destroyer. This is speaking of Satan. One woe is past, it says. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. After this 5 months of torment, there's still more to come, he says. Verse 13, then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So this is something coming from the east. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year, they had been prepared for this exact time, were released to kill a third of mankind. Whereas before, the torment was not to kill, but to torment. Now, a third of the men will be killed. Now, the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. What are these? We have no idea. John was seeing something he had never seen before. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries, of their sexual immorality, or their thefts. So we see one third of the people on the earth are killed by this army. There are two thirds remaining. Those two thirds are still entrenched in their evil ways, God says. All this now is leading up to the sounding of the seventh trumpet. Keep in mind one other important facet of this blowing of trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets is held on the first day of the month. So, we know what we heard, what we read back in Numbers is, the trumpets, one of the things was to sound the first day of the month, the new moon, when the new month began, but it was also to sound the feast. So in this case, the trumpet is being used for both, to sound the new moon, but also the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets is held on the first day of the seventh month, a new moon. Already now, there have been six trumpets sounded before this day was announced with the trumpet. Six trumpets have already sounded. God has a purpose and a reason for doing everything he has set in motion. It is a grand and glorious plan. This is the third use of the trumpet that we saw in Numbers, the announcing of the first day of each month, the new moon, and the calling of the feast day. Before we proceed, let's look at a warning back in Amos. Turn back to Amos. We're going to look at Amos chapter 5. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos 5, look at verse 18. A warning to us as well. Amos 5, verse 18. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. For what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not night. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. As though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? God says that we need to be very careful. And we need to not pray for and look forward to this day of the Lord, because it is going to be a horrible time. And we should not be praying for God. We should be praying to God for anything but mercy. because it is going to get horrible now, as we see in the seventh trumpet. Turn back over to Revelation 11. We're going to look at verse 15. And verse 19. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And in verse 19, then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. This is the sounding of the seventh trumpet. Now we need to go over to Revelation 15. Revelation 15, verse 1 and 2. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them the wrath of God is complete. The plagues, the vials, as we see, these angels are given bowls or vials. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. And in verse 5 it continues, "After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed with pure bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls, full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Then I heard," verse 1 of chapter 16, "then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth.'" So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Once again, the mark of the beast is referred to. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. This isn't blood like when you cut yourself and it's fresh. This says blood of a dead man. Putrid. This is putrid blood that is poured out on the seas. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angels of the waters saying, catch this, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and yet you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." And I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." So all that has happened here from heaven, it's saying, all that you are doing, God, is true and righteous. You have judged righteously. We need to keep that in mind. God has judged righteously. The fourth bowl. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over the plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. man will find out that he doesn't have so much control over the environment as the one who made it. And I can't imagine how powerful the sun will be. But can you imagine how parched everyone will become? How their lips will blister, their skin will blister. It's going to be very painful, a very horrible, painful thing that happens to mankind. The fifth bowl, then in verse 10. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom shall become full of darkness. They gnawed their tongues because of the pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. Can you imagine that kind of darkness, so powerful that it even makes you gnaw your tongue? That is deep darkness, where you can't even see your hand in front of your face. The sixth bowl, verse 12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, he says to us, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. This is a warning to us that we need to be aware. He will come as a thief, but we need to be watching. What does it say? In patience, possess ye your souls. And they gathered them together in verse 16, the place called in Hebrew Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo. Then, in verse 17, the earth utterly shaken is what my heading says here, the seventh bowl. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. I've been through a mighty earthquake. They're not fun. And this one is far beyond anything that can be described by man today. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, every hailstone about the weight of a talent, over 100 pounds. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. What follows in chapter 17 and chapter 18 is the destruction of the great false system, Babylon. Jesus Christ will bring down this evil system that has permeated into every nook and cranny of all that we see around us. Babylon, this system, came from Babel. Babylon gets its name from Babel. That has how long? Ever since, just after the time of Noah. This has been ensconced into all of our societies around the world, deep into everything that we see and do. It even affects us, and we don't even know it. Turn over to Daniel 2. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he wanted to see, or someone to tell him, not only what it meant, but he wanted them to tell him what the dream was, so they weren't making something up. And in Daniel 2, verse 31, we see Daniel, inspired by God, telling Nebuchadnezzar what his dream meant. Daniel 2, verse 31. "You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, and its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay." And we know that the part of the fine gold, which is the head and above, the head of it all, was Babylon. Verse 34, "And you watched while a stone was cut without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found." No trace was found of this image. "And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." And it says in verse 45, Daniel saying, "Inasmuch as you saw the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, silver, and gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure." When Jesus Christ returns, he is going to destroy all the governments of men. They are all going to topple. In place of those governments, he is going to establish his righteous government. And Isaiah tells us in one place that he will not judge by sight or hearing, but with righteousness and equity. This will be a righteous and equitable government that is established finally on this earth. Now, let's go back to Revelation. Look at chapter 19. Chapter 19, and we begin in verse 11. "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written on that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the wine presses of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he is on his throne, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." We see here Jesus Christ now, at the sounding of the seventh trumpet, Jesus Christ coming back to make war with the nations. The trumpet, the sound of war, a calling together for war. Joel 2 again. You don't have to turn there, I'll just read it to you. Joel 2, verse 10 and 11. "The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes the word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it?" So we see this sound of war being part of the Feast of Trumpets, being part of the trumpets, especially the seventh trumpet when it is sounded. But let's look at the second, the first use of the trumpet in Numbers, the second one I pointed out. It ties in with what we just read here in Joel, and it says, the Lord gives voice before his army. Job 14, and you can just put it in your notes, you know it, but let me just read it to you again. Job 14, verse 14. Job here, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. You shall call and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands. In verse 14 it says, till my change comes. Another word for that can be alteration. To what I am is altered and change, and I will live again. First Corinthians 15, another very important part of the Feast of Trumpets. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Those wonderful words are set to music by Handel in his Messiah oratorio. The trumpet will call and sound the command for assembly. The assembly of God's people. As Job said, he would wait for his change. That change will now have come for the dead in Christ Jesus. God will sound that trumpet call for the assembling of his people. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Not reading anything new, but it's hopefully a good review. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Paul writing here, but I do not want you to be ignorant, and thankfully, we are not ignorant, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, those who have died previously. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. In verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, Paul writes, comfort one another with these words. We are to take comfort in the knowledge, this understanding that we've been given. And he continues in the fifth chapter, verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We haven't been called to wrath. We've been called to salvation. Who died for us, Jesus Christ, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. That comes after this. So we are once again told to comfort one another with these wonderful words of life. Back to 1 Corinthians 15. couple of scriptures here. First Corinthians 15, verse 53 and 54. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, Paul writes. And he writes, continues in verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, this change, this alteration Job talked about, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We, whether we are in the grave or alive and waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, we will be changed from mortal to immortal. Death will no longer have a hold on us anymore. Standing there with us will be all those who have gone before us. Some we know about from the Bible. We don't know who they are, but we've heard of them. But most, we will have no idea who they are. There will be all those alive today, changed, that we don't know who they are either, in the body of Christ. The church, they will be changed. We will be standing there in this great assembly that Jesus Christ and God the Father has called. We will be part of that assembly. Colossians 3, turn over to Colossians for a couple of passages here. Colossians 3, verse 4. Colossians 3, verse 4, Paul writes these fantastic words. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Fantastic, wonderful words. Colossians 1, verse 13 through 15 then. He says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Verse 14 of Colossians 1. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He, it says, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus is the image, the profile, the representation, the resemblance of the invisible God, our Heavenly Father. That's what Jesus Christ is. And then the last scripture here, turn over to 1 John 3. 1 John 3, verse 1 and 2. John writes in 1 John 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. We are called children of God now. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But what is it going to be like when we're resurrected? Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. In verse 2, it says, beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And he is in the image of God. We will see him as that. Are we going to be Jesus Christ? No. But we will be in that very image when we are resurrected. The word like here means to be like or similar in appearance and or character. These truly are words of comfort, strength, and hope for all of us. We will be immortal. Death and corruption will have no control over us from that time forward. That's part of what the Feast of Trumpets is talking about. The three trumpets, the three reasons for the trumpets to be sound. First, to announce the new moon, to announce the feast day, to call an assembly, and then also to call for war. And it seems to indicate that the resurrected saints and those who are changed are part of that army that comes with Jesus Christ. But it is not completely clear, at least not to me, because the angels will also be a part of that army. But it is going to be an awesome thing to be able to witness that, to be a part of what it is that God has for all of mankind. The three trumpets, the three reasons for the trumpets. The six trumpets will sound during the day of the Lord when God the Father and Jesus Christ intervene in the affairs of this world with a vengeance. Then the seventh trumpet sounds. Jesus Christ returns with his resurrected immortal saints and his heavenly army. And they will put an end to the rule of Babylon in this world. What a great day that will be for us. What a great day that will be for the world. But the world doesn't know it today, unfortunately. But it will eventually, they will see that it is a great day for them as well. It will be a memorial for all of the world. We have Memorial Day. God says the Feast of Trumpets is a day of memorial. This will be something to remember. And after that, Jesus will deal with Satan the devil, the destroyer and accuser of the brethren, accuser of us, followed by the establishment of his kingdom on this earth. But that's for other holy days to come. Don't want to go there. And as I close, I want to remind you of what Paul tells us. Comfort one another with this knowledge we have. It is a blessed thing to know. It is our hope.